If you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to continue our little study in the 7 days of creation and how they relate to the life of the believer. Genesis chapter 1. And we'll read verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now turn over to Psalms. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And now finally in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll begin reading at verse 38 for context. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. The Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. And you'll remember that we started with day one with the creation of light, illumination. And we talked about how that's where it all begins for the believer, isn't it? Our hearts are illuminated by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only place we can start, because without that, we're in darkness, the scripture tells us. And we're lost and without hope and without God in this world. So we begin with the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in our hearts. And as a result, we're changed. We're transformed. Day two, you remember we spoke about the firmament. God created the firmament, which was basically an expansion. It was a separation between everything that's above and everything that's beneath. And we liken that in the life of a believer to sanctification. It's really one of the things, I think, just after salvation that we come to terms with in our lives as believers, is that we understand that we have been saved for a purpose, a glorious purpose. We live in this world, and before we're saved, we kind of get the impression, like the world, that we're here to just gratify ourselves, do whatever we want to do that makes us happy. In fact, our Constitution almost kind of assures us of that right to pursue happiness as we see what happiness is. But what a believer learns as we're saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we've been placed on this planet for a purpose, that we might bring honor and glory to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers, we ought to take that seriously. And so this whole idea of sanctification in the life of a believer is very important. You will notice that there are times in our lives as believers that we wonder, what is the will of God for my life? And a close examination of the New Testament scriptures will show that God has very clearly spelled out what is his will for the life of a believer, hasn't he? I mean, you have verses that say this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." No one can say they don't know what the will of God is for their life. There's one instance. Paul says in one of his epistles that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And the whole idea about sanctification was that there was a separation, there's a difference, or should be a difference, a recognizable difference between me and between an unbeliever. And I fear that the problem that we experience as believers today is just this melding of two worlds that are in total opposition to one another. That to where the lines have been so blurred that we can't tell if a person is truly a convert of the Lord Jesus Christ or if they're just somebody that's unconverted. We used to dress differently. We used to talk differently. We used to act differently. We used to do different things. And I'm, believe me, not the one to be standing up here pointing fingers and saying that what we're doing and saying is wrong. I've done the same things myself. But in the light of the Word of God, we need to come to a decision in our own lives where we understand that we have been sanctified. The word just means set apart for a purpose that we might bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Day three, we learned that the Lord caused the herbs to grow, the plants to grow, and as a result of them growing, they produced fruit. And that's another thing we see in the life of a believer, isn't it? That we are not just here to please the Lord Jesus, but one way that we do that is by bearing fruit for Him. And if you'll remember, the last time we spoke, we spent an awful lot of time in John chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. And every branch that is in me beareth fruit. We talked about the fruitless branch, how it's taken away. We talked about the fruitful branch that is abiding constantly in the vine and is bearing precious fruit for the Lord Jesus. And then we talked about the withered branch, the one that is dying on the vine and one day will be cast away. Today, what we want to talk about is day four, the lights in the heavens that the Lord has made. Impartation. The word impartation is just a fancy word. It just means to impart. That's, if I asked my kids for a definition, that's what they would say. Impartation just means to impart, but it means to declare, to make known, to make manifest. And so we'll find out this morning, hopefully with the help of the Spirit of God, that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been placed on this planet that we might manifest the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's not, as Paul said to the Galatians, and we were talking about this Friday night at Target Park in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So without further ado, we'll start with day four. God created the sun, he created the moon, and he created the stars. All three which are lights in the firmament. And he says here in verse 14 that they were created for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, there's one verse I forgot to read in Psalms that I'm remembering right now. And let me see if I can't get to it. In Psalm 19, in verse 1, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We look at creation around us, and a lot of times I think we get the impression, oh, that was nice that he put that there, but what was the whole purpose behind it? You know? Okay, the sun gives light during the day, the moon gives light during the night, and the stars are just kind of cast against a dark background, and it really looks beautiful. But the Lord says here in Genesis chapter 1, it's not just for beauty that I created these things. They all have a purpose. And the psalmist tells us that every day and every night, God's creative work is speaking. And the question is, are we listening? Are we listening to what creation itself is even telling us of our God? And we look at these things and we have to say that we serve an omnipotent God, don't we? You know, we were just singing that he covers me in the cleft of the rock with his hand. Well, that means his hand has got to be bigger than me if he's able to cover me. And I'll tell you, it's got to be a pretty big hand to cover me. Now, how big is God? Big enough to oversee this whole universe that he created? And yet small enough to live within my heart, the song says. We serve an omnipotent, limitless God. And he has created these things for a purpose. The sun, we read, it gives light during the day. It is that source that is out there that makes us sweat. It's very hot. It can be almost overbearing at times. But it also gives light, not just heat, but also light. By it, we're able to do things in the daytime that we're not able to do at night. You know, the sun is a picture to us in the Word of God of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sun is the source of everything in our life here naturally. Everything that grows and everything that has its being is a result of the sun. And so it is for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife was reading an article the other day that she shared with me. She does the reading, I don't. And one of the things she said was that they were noticing that people were getting vitamin D deficiency by a large scale today, more than any other time in history. And you know why that is? It's because everybody's wearing sunblock. That's correct. Because the greatest source of vitamin D for the human body is the sun. The Lord Jesus Christ is that source of light and life for the believer. And we would never want to see that light extinguished as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he also made the moon, and he put it there to rule the night. Now, the moon would picture to us the church. That is, everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. Those that have put their faith and trust in Christ during that time frame make up what is known in the scriptures as the church, the bride of Christ. And it's pictured for us in the moon, in that if we were to pull the chain and turn the sun's light off for just a moment, at night we would find out that there would be no light in the nighttime sky because the moon does not produce its own light. What the moon does is it reflects the glory of the sun. And by virtue of that, we have light at night. Now, of course, it's not the same light that we get from the sun during the day, but it is light nonetheless. And what an apt picture of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that's important about this whole idea of the believer reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is proximity, isn't it? You know, if the moon was further and further and further away from the sun than what it is right now, that light would be diminished. And so it is with a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The further and further and further we get away from our source, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the more and more our light is diminished. And then the Lord Jesus here made the stars. And it's kind of humorous because it is almost as if it's an afterthought, the way Moses puts it in here in Genesis chapter 1. He made the sun to rule the day. He made the moon to rule the night. And oh, by the way, he made the stars also. You know, from our perspective, I guess we could kind of think that way. You know, we stand out at Target Park at night sometimes when there's no clouds and we look up. And, you know, the nighttime sky is just dotted with little shiny things, you know. The whole chorus we used to sing as a child, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." And they seem small and somewhat almost insignificant up there, cast against a backdrop of complete darkness. But the Lord Jesus says that he made them for a specific purpose. Are you aware that the stars are the main source, have been for years, the main source of navigation in this world? That men from the beginning of time have used stars by which to navigate themselves on this planet. You know, it's only recently that we've had GPS and satellite technology to get us where we're wanting to go. And before that, I guess that you got married and you had a wife sitting next to you and she would tell you where to go. She was the navigator, you know, and a good one at that. But men would always look up at the heavens and the stars would tell them where to go. And I think of that verse that we just read in Psalm 19. Whenever I think of the stars, day unto day and night unto night, they utter a speech. There is no place where their voice is not heard. Beloved, it is my conviction that there is nothing that the Lord Jesus didn't create, that he didn't create for a specific purpose that would bring glory to himself. And we can look up into the heavens at night and see these little orbs twinkling and understand that the Lord had a purpose in it all. I'd like to look at three different things with you this morning in the time that we have left about stars and make some analogies to the life of a believer. The first one, if I can do this right, would be the multitude of stars. Every time you read of the stars in the scriptures, it always used the word hosts because there's a lot of them. It always talks about multitude of stars. In fact, the Lord used them as an illustration, didn't he? You remember he took Abram? And he says, you know, Abram, I'm going to give you a son. Now, Abraham was, pushing 100, Sarah pushing 90, well past childbearing years. And Abram, I'm sure, thought to himself, that'll be something. That'll be something. And the Lord said, Abram, come out here. Look up. Do you see all the stars? Can you number them? Just as the stars, so shall thy seed be. And we know in another case, he used the sand of the grains of sand as an illustration to the multitudeness, if I can use that word or make up that word, of what his seed would be like. The stars are vast in number. This little shot is just a little segment, just a tiny segment of a shot taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. There's not a whole lot of black space up there, is there? There are countless, numerous stars. In fact, based on current estimates, there are between 200 and 400 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. There are probably 100 billion galaxies in the universe. And if we have any math teachers or anything like that amongst us here, But if you do the math, that's about 10 sextillion stars in the universe. These are just conservative estimates. And you know, these estimates are getting blown away every day by the Hubble Space Telescope as it beams out and finds stars that they didn't even know existed yet, galaxies that they didn't even know existed yet, and they're finally getting a chance to see them. There is a multitude of stars. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and in Miami, Florida at night, the street lights are very bright for a reason, because it's not safe. But one of the downsides of that is when you look up in the nighttime sky, you could probably pick out three stars. You know, if you were in the city of Wichita and you looked up, you could probably see with the naked eye and the city lights about 30 stars. And you move out to a more rural setting away from the city lights, like say Target Park, and you look up in the heavens, you could probably see about 300 stars. And if you were to take a pair of binoculars, just an average pair of binoculars, and look up into the heavens in that rural setting, you could probably see about 3,000 stars. And if you were to take a small telescope and look up into the heavens out there at Target Park, you could probably see about 30,000 stars. And if you took a large telescope, like these observatories out in California, and you looked up in the heavens, you can probably see about 300,000 stars. There are way more stars than that. And I think as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we sometimes get lulled into the fact of thinking that we're the only Christians on the planet, that we're by ourselves, and that we're kind of like Gideon's band. There's just a handful of us around. Beloved, the Lord has seen fit to fill the Father's house. Remember the parable about the wedding? He sent his servants out into the highways and the byways to compel them to come in. And here's what the householder said. He said, because my house must be filled. And beloved, when we get to glory, when we get to heaven, I think we're going to turn around and we're going to find out that that is exactly true. That heaven is filled. Filled to the exact capacity. Because the Lord knoweth them that are his. There are others just like you and me out there in their corner of the universe shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I doing in my small corner? We used to sing that chorus, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And we always think of it as a candle. Let's think of it this morning as a star. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. The next thing I want to think with you about as far as stars are concerned. Oh, okay, by the way. See, I told you I'm not good at this PowerPoint thing. That's the picture of the Milky Way, and that you are here. That's an approximation of where the Earth is. We live in a neighborhood that is filled with stars, and that's just the front porch of the universe. There's tons more than that. What I want to talk to you next is about the magnitude of stars. Although they may appear to be little things in the nighttime sky from our perspective here, they are in fact massive and very huge. This little picture here shows you an approximation of the size of the Earth. It's that little dot, almost looks like the point of a Sharpie marker, compared to our sun, which is the closest star to us. 93 million miles away, and we see it in the daytime sky. It doesn't seem to be all that big, but it's really big. And then we'll see here It can't even approximate the size of the sun. It says the sun, one pixel, almost looks like a grain of speck of sand up there. But the sun's not even the biggest star in the universe. You'll see there, it lists Betelgeuse and Ceres, and they are, of course, a lot bigger than our sun. But they're not the biggest star in the universe. As a result of the Hubble Space Telescope, they were able to find what at one point was the largest star that they've ever seen. The name of that star is Canis Majoris, the Big Dog Star. And this is just a little approximation of the size of the sun in relation to Canis Majoris. Huge, mega star. My wife was just showing me, I told you she's the reader in the family, was just showing me a news article from July 22nd where they have found the biggest star that would dwarf this star, Canis Majoris, like 100 times over. They haven't even given it a name, it's just an R and a number, okay? Stars are not these little twinkling things that we see from our perspective. They're huge and massive. The verse we read in Psalms 33, it tells us that, you know, if Moses' statement was just an afterthought, he made the stars also. What of the psalmist who said that these stars are coming out of the Lord Jesus? They are his breath, and they appear. These stars are massive in size. And it leads me to wonder, what's my magnitude like as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Whether we see ourselves as being a small believer or a giant believer, one thing's for certain, the Lord Jesus Christ will fill any space that you give him. And the only difference between a small star and a big star is its size. I mean, that seems almost elementary, doesn't it? And the only difference between a young believer or a small believer and an older believer or a larger believer is the amount of time that has been spent with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this world is such a desperate, despicable, harmful place for the believer. And yet it is the place that we have been placed in by the Lord. You remember in John chapter 17, in his high priestly prayer before he went to the cross, the Lord Jesus prayed, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world," his followers, "but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." He wants us here for a particular purpose. And as I get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, my magnitude increases. Not the magnitude of Scott Tucker, the fleshly nature Scott Tucker, but the inward man, the spiritual man, that is renewed day by day. The capacity for that man grows by leaps and bounds. And the Lord Jesus is able to fill that to capacity and to use it for himself. Paul, we quoted that verse in Galatians 2:20. "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." He doesn't even say he lives it by his own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I live it by the faith of the Son of God." That's the transformation that has taken place in Paul's life, is that it's no more Paul living for Paul or Paul living for Christ even. It's Christ living through Paul for Christ. And beloved, that's the place that we as believers need to get to. We were talking about a gospel witness earlier this morning. And it doesn't just happen because we're saved. It happens because we're so full of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord Jesus Christ oozes out our pores. And he is made manifest to those around us. The magnitude of the stars. Turn to Job chapter 9. You know, until I started this study, I really didn't understand that the stars are mentioned quite a bit in the scriptures. Job chapter 9, verse 7. Which commandeth the sun, speaking of the Lord, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. I mean, I was taken back by some of these verses that I was reading. As a kid growing up, I was kind of interested in science, and I was kind of interested in two specific sciences. I was interested in the weather, and we're kind of glad to be in Kansas because the weather just seems to be quite unusual out here. But we were also impressed with astronomy. And there came a point where I think as a kid, teenager, as a believer, we kind of thought maybe studying the stars wasn't all that it's cracked up to be. But we have since learned that he who made the stars is worth studying about. And all these stars have been given a name. In fact, Psalm 147, I believe, tells us that, where the psalmist says that he calleth them all by names. And not only does the Lord have a name for all of the stars in the heavens, if you could count them. But if we kind of get a little personal, the scriptures also say that he's numbered the very hair of our head. Now, for some of us, that's not a mean feat. Three, you know. But for some of us, that's quite a number. And he who created the starry host, as magnificent as it is, and as grand as it is, cares an awful lot about me, that he would number the very hairs of my head. What kind of a God do I serve? Someone that is so intricately involved in who I am. Finally, we want to talk about the manifestation of the stars. In Job, we just read about the names of three stars, and I figured no one's probably ever seen them, so I'll just throw them up there for you. That reddish star that is by itself, that appears so brightly, that's Arcturus. The one in the center looks like a cluster of very bright stars. It's called the Seven Sisters, or Pleiades, as we read in Job. And then that last panel, I'm sure we're all kind of familiar, at least, with that little formation of three stars one way and a few stars down this way. That would be Orion. Again, the Lord created the stars for a particular purpose, and they speak. We read in Psalm 19. And men use them for navigational purposes. It's possible to buy software now that will show you what the night sky looks like at any period in human history. That's how exacting stars are. that they can be so used for navigational purposes to that extent that they can be relied on to that degree. And so they created the software that you can go back and forth at any time in human history and figure out what the heavens will look like, the stars, that is, where they will be. And someone has taken that software and has tried to figure out where the stars were the day Christ died. Before the software was ever developed, there's a book written in the 1800s by a man, it's called The Gospel and the Stars by Bullinger, okay? So this is way before computers and software were ever invented. And he painstakingly mapped out and figured out, to his belief at least anyway, and it is my conviction, that the day Christ died, the sun was traveling through the constellation Aries, the ram. So that when the Lord Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we read that the sun was darkness. That even though the light was taken away from that scene and the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't be seen on that cross, there was a silent witness in the heavens speaking about the ram, the Lamb of God, that was taking away the sin of the world. The stars are there for a purpose, to manifest the excellent glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, we read in the scriptures that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love them. And there is a day coming when we're going to pass these things by, and the Lord Jesus is going to explain to us exactly why he created that one, and what its purpose was in the heavens. As he unfolds to us wave upon wave of his glory. And we'll say on that day, he doeth all things well. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been placed against a scene of utter darkness in this world because of sin. And my job is to manifest the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How am I doing at that job? Am I shining for him at every moment? You know, it's one thing about the stars. They're shining continually day and night, whether we recognize it or not. We can't see them during the daytime because of the brightness of the sun, but they're there. And they're shining nonetheless. And when times get dark, we see them most evidently. Beloved, our job as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like a star, is to shine all the time, whether people can see it or not. And oftentimes, and doesn't this now make sense, in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that oftentimes the Lord allows darkness in our lives, troublesome times, to happen so that his glory might be seen even greater, that we might shine even brighter for him. Beloved, that is the opportunity that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little star shining in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, first of all, for him, Well, we see and know it if our life is dim. He looks down from heaven, sees us shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in this world abound. Sin and want and sorrow, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. May the Lord help us to that end. Father, we are thankful this morning for thy word. We're thankful that we serve a loving God who cares about the sinner so much that he would send his only son to die on a criminal's cross, bearing my sin, our sin, the sin of the whole world, that we might be his for all eternity. Lord Jesus, we recognize that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been miraculously saved from sin, and yet we have a purpose. And Father, we pray this morning that we might understand individually what our purpose is, and that we might, like the stars of heaven, shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, that others seeing us might not see us, that they might see the Lord Jesus himself, and seeing him, they might be drawn to him, they might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Part us with thy blessing, we pray. Use us in some small way in our small corner to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious name.